All right. Thank you for that song, Tali. I was dragging a little bit. Got me a little fired up. That's awesome. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. It's great to be together. This shirt means it's almost the most wonderful time of the year. Golf season. The most wonderful time. No, it's good. So, yeah, it's almost that time of the year. So I think we got spring coming up here in just a few days, right? The first day of spring. And we are springing forward today. It's good to see everyone here, all of your beautiful faces. And, you know, we can start breaking out our bright colors and all of that good stuff. And it's really awesome. Did I ever tell you about my trip to Siberia? I'm old. I keep, you know, I used to keep telling stories over and over again. So I went to Russia. I went to Siberia my first time. I flew into Moscow. And kind of a long story short, I ended up in Siberia, finally got there. Let me just say this. You know, when you fly to another country, you probably know this, but it's not like flying domestically. You ought to be a little, have some plans. I didn't, so I ended up spending the night in the in an airport. And because I didn't know how to change flights, you know, from international to domestic in Moscow. But I know now, amen? Slept on the floor in the airport, and it was a wonderful experience. But I get into my, and the weather is beautiful. I get there around May. And I, you know, the time I was wearing shorts all the time, I said, I'm bringing my shorts. So I brought a couple of pair of shorts with me, and I get there, and it is the warmest May they have had apparently in the history of Russia. I mean, and every day I'm in shorts walking around. And people are looking at me, and I just figure they're looking at me because I'm a black American, and you can tell I'm not from around here. I'm just down here, you know what I'm saying? And so I say to one of the brothers, I said, yeah, it's great. People are looking at me, and, you know, I said, I can tell, you know, I said, you know, there are a lot of black Americans. He just goes, and he looks at me with a serious look. He said, Vince, I don't think people are looking at you because you're a black American. I said, oh, really? He goes, they're looking at you because you're wearing shorts. I said, okay, I'm all in. Tell me what's going on. He says, in Russia, he says, people don't put shorts on. He said, people that grew up, you didn't put shorts on until there was an announcement over the television or over the airwaves. It's springtime. Break out your spring clothes. I was like, really? He says, it's not that way anymore. He says, but you understand, some traditions are hard. And I says, you are really bucking the trend around here with your shorts on. I'm going, interesting. So, isn't it nice to live in a country? I don't know if it's that way. This is 20 years ago. Isn't it nice to live in a country where you can wear shorts whenever you want to? Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, shorts.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Go.
Amen. Of course, fired up this morning. I think someone said it, our theme is light of the world. We're talking about light, and so we'll continue on the topic of light. You know, God's vision is a light for the nations. A light for the nations. You know, a lot of people have had vision over the years. So I just kind of read a few people that had a vision and their vision statements. And I don't agree with most of these. Okay? A few of them I do agree with. Some I don't agree with. Some I'm not sure about. But I'm going to read them. You probably don't either. Leonardo da Vinci had a vision. I've been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do. Gandhi had a vision. Be the change that you wish to see in the world. Pretty harmless, right? Adolf Hitler had a vision. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for the German children. Prior to 1930, didn't sound like a bad idea, okay? Albert Einstein, imagination is more important than knowledge. If For knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world. Walt Disney had a vision. If you can dream it, you can do it. Don't know if I agree with that or not. Mother Teresa had a vision. If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. I like that. Pretty cool. Nelson Mandela said a few things, one of which is, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. I disagree with that, but yeah, that's all right. I do like Mandela. Martin Luther King, you know, he had a vision. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the character. We all know that one. Steve Jobs had a vision. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do it. I do agree with this next one. Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Amen. God has always had a vision. We're actually going to be in Isaiah chapter 49 today. Maybe verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk about this God who had a vision. And really, it was a vision that he had from humanity from the very beginning. And though it got a little twisted, because God does not control us and he gives us the flexibility and the ability to choose to obey or disobey. But it wasn't like God couldn't quickly pivot or do what he needed to do. He still had a vision for humanity. So what started in a garden ends in a city, but it's all part of God's vision. Genesis, the Revelation. Amen. And so we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 49, read verse 1 through 7. But let's pray first. God, we love you so much. And thank you that, you know, I think in many ways, in some ways, twisted, misguided, whatever, all of these people probably got a little bit of inspiration from you. Maybe took it in the wrong direction, some of them. Maybe some didn't, whatever the case is. But thank you that you are the God of vision. You're the God of light. You're the God that you not only do you see clearly, but you really want us to see clearly. And that your plan is your eyes, as they range throughout the earth, you are looking constantly with vision, eyes that can see for those whose heart are devoted to you. And in some ways, God, really constantly roaming the earth and pricking hearts and challenging us and inspiring us and God, doing what you do to lead more and more and more people to you. I pray, God, that we will constantly grab hold of that. We will never get too fixated on our own plans and our own thoughts and our own dreams, but help us to lean into the great vision that you have for humanity. And may we honor that. And may we live in that and embrace that entirely. And we pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and read in Isaiah chapter 49. The sermon is really about verse 6, but I'm going to read the whole passage here. It says, "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he had spoken my name. He made my mouth like a shepherd, a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hit me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God.' And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord. My God has been my strength. And he says, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, Isaiah is full of what scholars say are these songs of Isaiah. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, Isaiah 52 through 53, they are these songs. And this particular song is talking about God. It is when Israel is in Babylon, they are in captivity. They have been exiled into Babylon. And Babylon is not quite as bad as Egypt. Egypt was a place from which the Israelites easily wanted to get out of. But this bondage in Babylon was a little bit different because actually the Israelites wasn't too bad. It's kind of easy for them to just slip in. You know, I heard stories about slavery in Egypt, and it was bad. They were getting beat, but this Babylonian thing is not too bad. It's kind of like, you know, we got our own commerce. We can do things. Things are going pretty good, which would explain why it was time to go back. Some went, nah, we're good. It's actually not bad here, you know. Kind of how the enemy works, doesn't he? God would really find out who was the most committed. You know, so whenever Moses would say, we're leaving, everybody went, we're leaving. Well, we're out. You know, the slavery, the beating, of all of it's too bad. But Babylon, this ain't too bad. It's a little bit like living in comfort, you know. But it's interesting for those that were truly devoted to God, they held out hope. And they held out a vision, they held out a dream, they held out for God's word. And here the prophet comes along and he says, I haven't forgotten about you, Israel. I haven't forgotten at all. So God comes to Israel when they are in captivity and says, I still have a plan for my people. Now, he's talking to Israel, but we know also he's talking about Jesus, amen. He's talking about what Israel was supposed to be or what they would become, but he's talking more specifically about the servant Jesus. And it's pretty powerful what he says about the servant. And so I'll summarize it in 3 points for you here. The first is God's vision, it's beyond the familiar. It always has. His vision always reaches beyond those things that seem most familiar to us. God's vision is never about comfort. It's about really going, in many cases, to the unfamiliar. But God's vision also brings much needed light into our eyes, our lives. We need light so desperately, and we'll talk about that. Okay? And of course, the last point is God's vision includes the ends of the earth, a true plan of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Amen. He went there. No, he didn't. We prayed, right? Well, let's dive in. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Israel. God's mission is not just about Israel restoration. It's not just about the familiar. And I think what God was foreshadowing, if you read through the New Testament, it multiple times echoes this moment in history where God is constantly saying, you guys have such a small vision for who I am and what I have planned. My plan was never just about those things that are familiar to you. My plan has always been about something that's way bigger and different, and it will call and cause you to be really uncomfortable. In our ministry, we got to resist the temptation to limit our vision to just what's familiar to us, to just the things that are comfortable for us. We really got to be people that we reach beyond our comfort zones, that we don't just reach out to the people that seem to be most like us, or the people that are the easiest to talk to, or that we're only having those comfortable conversations. It is easy to live a life of comfort, but as we used to say in the old days, if you're not on the edge, you're taking up too much what?
Faith.
And being on the edge in your faith, that is what it's all about. We are called to live these lives that are a bit uncomfortable. Christianity itself is uncomfortable. Unless you've been again to just sink right on into Babylonian lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're just kind of sinking into like, you know, this isn't too bad. I mean, it ain't like, you know, like my parents talked about slavery in Egypt. And I believe them. I believe it was bad. But this, how do we know this ain't heaven? How do we know this isn't, you know? I know there's some days you feel like, bro, I know this ain't heaven. This is hell, you know? But I mean, do we live like it? Do we live like strangers in a foreign land? Do we live like people that really believe that, man, this world is really not my home. I'm not the way it exists. I'm just passing through. The way this thing exists, this is not what God had in store for me. So we have to constantly be broadening our reach and broadening our hearts, expanding our hearts to love the most unfamiliar, to love the people that are most uncomfortable to love, to love the people that are the most unlike us, the people that you go, they're just not my flavor. Not my flavor. It's not just don't get down with them, you know? Because I can tell you that Jesus, he gets down with all of us.
Yeah.
And none of us are really not that much like Jesus. Not really, you know what I mean? And he goes, I am all in with you. Jesus finds the things about us that are the most familiar, and he looks at us and he goes, oh, I can see the image of God in you. And I just want to draw that out with you. See, that is who we are. When we call ourselves the light of the world, that's who we are. We are the people that we find that thing. And it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. In fact, it's hard. It's getting harder. It's getting harder and harder because now we're divided over all sorts of things, right? I mean, there's a civil war going on right now in our country. It's about ideas. It's an idea. What an ideology war? Obviously, say that. It's a war of ideas. And I mean, the hate is real. I've never, ever in my lifetime experienced a time when people feel so justified to be hateful. It's almost like it's in the Bible for me to hate. No, it's not. And so we're called to be unfamiliar people, strangers in this world. But to also be people that are constantly reaching. Because I believe God's vision, it was always beyond the unfamiliar. God said, you're too small for you just to bring back. I want them back. But it's too small of a vision. My plan is to always take you to a place where you've never been before. And there's always little opportunities of that. There's always little, you know, times when it happens in your life, and sometimes they're more significant than others. I remember I moved to Ed Carr said to me, he goes, we need more people with tattoos in the church. I'm going, okay, where do we find them, Ed? You know what I mean? Let's go find the people with tattoos. Remember, you got a tattoo? It needs to be more obvious. I'm going to go with football. I don't want you to show me where it's at, but it needs to be more obvious, you know? But this is just little examples of that. I was thinking about this, and you know, I was thinking about Lawrence Willis when we were in Columbia, Missouri. And our goal, we wanted to reach out to MU, and so MU is flagship campus in this state. It is. It just is, okay? It's the biggest school it is, okay? I'm not saying they got the smartest kids. Trust me, I spent 16 years down there. That's definitely not true, okay? But there are lots of smart kids, and there's a lot of money being dumped into that school. But Lawrence, you know, he was on MU's campus, and Lawrence was, I mean, there wasn't a person on campus that didn't know this little skinny, blazing kid running around. He knew everybody. Everybody knew him. And he was all over the place. Because some of it was disorganization, but some of it was just intentional. Like, Lawrence, what are you doing? But he became my campus minister. I'm like, okay, bro, we got to get MU going. And he comes to me one day and says, bro, I think we should reach out on Columbia College. I'm going, bro, Columbia College has got like 2,000 kids. It's a private school. Stay focused on MU. No, bro, I think God is calling us to go to Columbia College. And so after a few conversations, I'm like, can't you just stay focused on MU campus? What's the matter with you? He goes, no, bro, God's calling. I'm like, whatever, just do it, you know? Just go reach out. And that semester on that little campus, he baptized like 14 kids, and I'm just like, well, clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. You just do whatever you want to do, you know? I mean, it's just a small example. You know, at the end of the day, they're all college students, but they're somewhat unfamiliar, amen? But God is always calling us to do the unfamiliar, yes, amen? Point number two, God's vision, it brings needed light. You know, so God has a vision to bring light into the lives of the whole world, right? And he uses us to be that light. He says, you will be a light to the Gentiles. Now, that's what he expects the church. That's what he expected that church, Israel, to be. Yeah. Okay? The bride of Christ. And so that's what he expected Jesus to be. You will be a light to the Gentiles. And we really, we follow in that heritage. See, we're not a new thing. We are really in the line, lineage, if you will, of God's plan always to use the Israelites to be a light. I know we kind of think, well, in the New Testament, God did something new. God says, well, I didn't do anything new. This is always my plan. Always my plan. This ain't a new thing. You're part of my plan. See here? Always a light to the Gentiles. Always God's plan. Amen. But that's what it is. And light is a symbol of truth and a symbol of revelation. It's God's presence that breaks into darkness. Amen. That light that exposes darkness and sin and reveals the path to being reconciled to God and reconciled to humans. Okay. When you really been touched by God, you are reconciled to God, but you're reconciled to other people. Amen. So the people that you once hated, you go, well, I think I all of a sudden love them. I actually can love the people that are different than me. And people don't get it. Go, well, how could you love them? I says, I don't know. This must be the Spirit. Weren't you more bitter and angry and holding on to this and that? I go, I think the Spirit of God is inside of me. And I think it wants me to love people. Crazy. The Spirit is on me and it wants me to care about people in prison and love the unlovable and touch the untouchable and teach the unteachable and all of these things. This is what the Spirit inside of me is doing, something that is complete. It's like light has touched me. And now I've become a light. And I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help but love my white brothers and sisters. I love you. I love you all. I love you. I love you. Once I didn't like you. But now I love you. I want to hug you and hold you. Yeah, that would be weird. But you know what I'm saying. You get it. Like, I can really love all people, and you love me. You better love me, people. Love me. I know I'm hard to love, but love me, amen? But it's something amazing that happens, amen? And the prophecy is, it's ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, amen? The true light of the world, John 8:12. But God's plan was always to bring salvation to all people, not Israel. And light, when it enters, is something amazing. But we're light bearers, and we, as a result of that, when light comes into our life, we got to keep our lives full of light. So we got to keep our lives in the light.
Right.
Yes, we have to keep our lives in the light. A life that is constantly humble and constantly open and constantly have to confess maybe those sins that maybe sometimes creep back into, you know, Babylon creeps back into our life, you know what I'm saying? And we got to get open about that and talk about that and keep our lives in the light. But I mean, when was the last time you were vulnerable about the sin in your life? I mean, I'm not talking about, like, you know, telling people, like, well, you know, not everybody's perfect. But that's true, not vulnerable. Amen? Amen? You know, I've made some mistakes. Well, duh, you're breathing. Amen? Or only naming a little bit. But when's the last time you really strove to have light shine in your life? To sit down with someone, familiar or unfamiliar, but even unfamiliar, to sit down with someone and to say, I want to expose the darkness that tends to pop up in my heart. When the last time you turned to Galatians 5:19-25, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. You know that list? It goes through sexual immorality and impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And then I like this one. And the like. And the like. That's like, well, lion's not on the list. And the like. All those things that are not like Jesus. When's the last time you sat down and just said, you know, I've got some and the like in my life. I've been living a deceitful life. When's the last time you sat down and you just really talked about it and you got really open and you really talked about why your marriage is really struggling? My marriage is really struggling. It's possible that the person you married is a complete buffoon. It's very possible. I will remind you, you married them. Birds of a feather flock to, you know. So my mama used to say, birds of a feather flock together. I'm like, what does that mean? Look at your stupid friends. You know what I mean? Like, what? But when's the last time you really talked about the sin in your life? When's the last time you talked about the sin in your life? But it's not my fault. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When's the last time you got open about the sin in your life? The things that really, in that list. When's the last time you got open about your selfish ambition, your pride, your lack of humility, your lack of love, your lack of patience? You know, the fruits of the Spirit are obvious. Love, joy, your lack of joy. Your lack of peace, your lack of patience, your lack of kindness. Well, I was kind one time. I was kind for a whole year one time. I mean, a full year. I counted it, 365 days. And then I was done with kindness. your lack of goodness, your lack of faithfulness, your lack of gentleness, and your lack of self-control. When's the last time you got open about the darkness that creeps into your life? Oh, I know, when you live in Babylon, everybody else is that way. Everybody else doing it, man, ain't that bad. In fact, I go to work, all we do is complain about our spouse. It's kind of what we do. It's like a religion. Then we sing a song, we pass the communion. You know what I mean? It's like a service, you know what I'm saying? But when's the last time you got open about your life? See, sometimes we're having a hard time with being who we are, really tapping into being this light for the world, because there's darkness inside of us that we have not dealt with. It's darkness. And I mean, and it is hurting us and impacting us. And it's keeping us from shining as brightly as we can. And so God has given us this great tool of confession. It's a biblical gift. And you don't even have to come and meet me here and we go in a booth. No, you can actually just get open with some. In fact, I don't want to meet. I don't want to hear all your sin. Amen. It would overwhelm me. Okay. Especially some of you on this side. I can just. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was talking about the teens. No, just kidding. But then when's the last time you just got open with another brother or sister? In your small group, he says, I just want to get open and vulnerable. I want to deal with the darkness that might be in my heart. The thing that might be keeping me from being the light that I can and I'm supposed to be. You with me?
Yeah.
See, I think that's what it means to be the light of the world. And it's amazing when you are, because openness just begets more openness. Amen. You ever get open with someone and say, well, before you leave, I need to get open too. Amen. It's amazing what happens, but I will tell you that we all need it. And we don't just need it once a year. We need it more regularly. For some of us, we need it every day.
All right, man.
I appreciate there are a couple of brothers in the church, and they have an accountability group, and they've included me. I get an text message I get an email from this group. It's an online thing. I get an email every day, and every day it sends me a picture of what they're doing on their devices. And so it literally is. Some of you probably heard of it. You get a green, which means hey, they're good. Or you get a yellow, which means that something may have popped up, you might want to check on them. Or there's a red. And the red means, you know, they were looking at something they shouldn't have been looking at. And so I got a couple of people. Actually, I like it when I open my email and I got green light. Come on, bro. And when I get yellow, I send them a text and said, hey, looking kind of yellow today, dog. If I get red, I call them. What's happening? Sometimes they call me first. Say, hey, I just want you to know I'm red. And then we talk about that, amen? But I mean, amen. We need that, amen. I appreciate those brothers that know they need that level of accountability.
Amen.
Don't try to figure out who they are. But it's awesome, amen? We all need that. And let me get to point number three and I'll wrap up. God's vision is inclusive, and it's to the ends of the earth. See, what God really wants is he wants a community of people that are just vulnerable and not perfect and can humbly walk before him and before others, but a community of people. But he wants it to be to the ends of the earth. Amen. A mission that shatters every cultural, racial, spiritual battle, barrier. It makes one people of Jesus. One people serving one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, a Father who is over all, through all, and in all. That is his plan. But that's always been his vision, and it will expand to the ends of the earth. And until you've gotten to the ends of earth, the work ain't done. Amen. cause the church to sort of examine those areas in our heart and our life where we might be limiting God's plan of inclusion. See, God is really the only one that knows true diversity, true equity, and true inclusion. The world has some twisted ideas when it comes to this. But God knows how to truly do it. He knows what true justice is and what true righteousness is and these true characteristics of what it means to be with God. Look, I know the world's trying, they're trying, but they can only do, they can't give more than they possess. They can't. They really don't have it in their heart. But God does, and he cares so deeply, and he knows that education is not really what's going to change the world. It is only, not only knowing Jesus, as Patrick said, but it's being known by Jesus.
Amen. Come on, Ben.
You know Matthew 7, you know the passage? It says, you know, many will say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and do this and that? And he will say, away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. You wouldn't allow yourself to be known.
All right.
You don't make yourself known. And if you're not known by your brothers and sisters, then I don't know you. If you're unwilling to be known, if you're unwilling to be humble of heart with your brothers and sisters, then I don't know you. There's no such thing as I'm good with God, but not good with people. That's not the way. That's not, I got Bible on that. That's not the way the Bible reads, amen.
All right.
You can't be good with God if you're not good with people. And so God, this plan is expansive. It is to the ends of the earth. The vision includes everyone. God is constantly reaching out and expanding. He wants to shatter all barriers, tear down all those walls of hostility that might be tempted, that may build up. It's what he did. That's what he does in the book of Acts. Read it. It's what he did with the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a powerful example of God's inclusion. Amen. But as a church, we need to pray for our hearts. Pray for one another. Pray for hearts that reflect God's vision. And take the practical steps toward expanding God's mission, expanding his light, being the light that we're called to be. Listen, embracing that. It's going to be uncomfortable and it will be unfamiliar and it will be challenging. Yes, it will be. It will be. It will be. I promise. If it's not, it probably is not of God. Amen.
Amen.
Church is not the place where you're supposed to be the most comfortable. I know it's not. Trust me, it's all of us coming together. And look how different we are. It will be uncomfortable sometimes. But, and we're going to just bring in more difficult people. More difficult people. Like, why you let them in? I don't know. I ask myself the same time. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how some of you got here either. But we're just going to bring in more difficult people. The people with the tattoos. You know what I mean? They're all coming. And it will be unfamiliar. And it will be different smells and different looks and different that and the other. You know, it's going to be all that, amen?
Amen.
But it's all of Jesus, it's all good, amen?
Yes.
And it's still, you can get with them, you can get open about your life, and they'll get open about their lives. And when you hear their lives and you talk and you hear them get open, you go, you know, you look different to me, but we got the same kind of sin going on. Let me send you an email every day. Let me be accountable, amen? But that is expected to go to the ends of the earth. So I'll challenge you. Let's pray. Let's be that people. Our mission is too small if it just starts with the familiar. We're called to be a light for the nations, carrying the plan of salvation to the ends of the earth. And let's close. Let's stand and close with a prayer. And one closing song.
Amen.
Father, you are mighty and good. And we thank you that you care so much about people. It's evident you care about people just to look around this room. But God, if I didn't have anyone else to look at, God, I can just sort of look in the mirror and just know that, God, you care so deeply about me. And God, I know that we're all at different places. There are certainly times and moments when I don't feel that awesome, where I'm just sort of maybe a little bit spiritually dragging, emotionally dragging. And God, it can be because of a number of things. It's Babylon. It gets into our heart, God, and it just sort of can get us distracted and make us a little woozy, pull us back, weigh us down, discourage us, frustrate us. God, it can do a number on of us, God. But Father, I love you so much. We love you. We know, God, that even saying we love you, we're not capable of that alone. And so, God, please help us. Help us, God. Help us so desperately to love you deeper, God. May the songs we sing, may they help us to fall more in love with you. May our prayers help us to fall more in love with you. May the interaction, the fellowship we get, may it help us to fall more in love with you. Help us to read our Bibles more deeply, to fall more in love with you. But God, help us to purify our hearts constantly, to get those things out, Father, that keep us from being a light. That God, even keep us from seeing, God, all of the hurt around us. And there are many that are hurting. We're hurting, but there are those that are hurting as well, and many are hurting without you. God, we love you, we need you, we thank you, and God, we help us to have a great rest of this day, to have a great week, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.